Hey, we're checking in again with Quincy City Council President Nina Liang to get an update on the latest council meeting. Hi, Nina.
Hello there.
How are you doing?
I am good. I'm a little bit upset that it's a little bit colder today than usual, but I feel like I'm always complaining no matter what the weather is. So here we are.
See that? Well, because that's what we do here in New England. That's our specialty, is to complain about the weather no matter what.
It really is. I think we're doing it well.
Fortunately, it was a beautiful day this past Saturday for the rally on Quincy City Hall. I know you had a work obligation, but great turnout. Have you had any feedback at all from that?
I have. From what I've seen just on social media and talking to some of the folks who were able to attend, I hear it was a great turnout. We had, of course, incredible leaders across the city as well as the state and across the Commonwealth who were able to attend, to my understanding. We had District Attorney Mike Morrissey there. We had our State Senator, Senator Keenan there, Representative Tacky Chan was there. I believe Representative Bruce Arias was there as well. Maura Healey was able to come down and say a few words. I mean, she's been a staunch advocate for the work that we're doing here in the community. So it was great to hear that she was able to attend as well. And, you know, I was really happy to see a number of my colleagues, if not most of them, at the event as well. And so it's just, you know, it's one, I think for me personally anyways, one opportunity and one moment that can really have a really loud message that it's sending, right? That all of these folks in all of their different capacities are really coming together for one cause. And that's to say that we all do belong here as one community, you know? So there is certainly still a lot of work that needs to be done, I believe, and that folks are doing, but to pause and take a moment to come together and celebrate the diversity of this city, I think is really important. And so a lot of my family members were able to go down and attend as well. I heard great things from them. So I'm excited to see what's next.
Nice. I spoke to the mayor about the commission that he's putting together, and he's on the verge of naming it soon. There, one person he has to confirm. So we're expecting news on that as well.
Great. That's exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it.
Let's talk about the meeting. And you had started out with another COVID-19 hero.
Well, so this time we actually, it was, you know, certainly a moment to recognize and honor the work of the Girl Scouts who we had in. We've had them in a number of times, and Councilor Kane always does a great job giving us the opportunity to congratulate them. So, you know, it was more of a moment to honor them in general, but also to just congratulate them on the fact that they were able to continue doing their work throughout the pandemic. I mean, it's just, of all people, and you and I have spoken about this, I think the youth are so impacted by what's been going on, you know, to have to completely shift how they are engaging with education, their extracurricular activities with their families, you know, and understanding all of that while you're growing and learning as a young, you know, adult, a young child, is an incredible challenge, you know? And so above and beyond all of that, for these Girl Scouts to continue to be able to move forward and focus on their projects and be leaders in their community, you know, it was just a remarkable thing to hear about. And so it's always great to have folks in front of us, but particularly the Girl Scouts every single year when we have an opportunity to hear about their success and the awards that they win for their projects, their creativity for their projects, especially during a pandemic, was a great way to kick off the night.
Yeah, a lot of people will argue that it makes them, you know, stronger for the future to have to overcome this time of adversity at this young age.
Oh no, they're all going to take over the world, you know, sooner rather than later. I mean, it's just impressive. Some of these projects, again, you know, from bronze prizes all the way up to gold prizes, you know, we heard about how they were able to get creative about replacing single-use plastic bags out of old t-shirts. You know, they were looking at just, you know, inventive things like that. I think, again, you know, they're starting at this age. To your point, it makes them more resilient, makes them stronger, but just the creativity, right, behind what they're looking to do for, you know, creative solutions to the problems that are facing us right now and sustainable solutions, I think is just so impressive. So yeah, no, I mean, again, we'll be able to mark the day that we remember them when, you know, once they start taking over the world, for sure.
Right. Was it just a variety of troops that came before you? Did they get citations, or how did that work? Obviously it was virtual, so.
Yeah, generally, I mean, usually when it's in person, we do have the opportunity to give each of them citations for their awards. And it's a great opportunity for them, you know, for us to be able to thank them in person for their leadership roles. Donna, who you know, leads all of these efforts, she was there last night as well. It's unfortunate that it's in a virtual space, right? But I will say that they definitely handle Zoom a lot better than most of us do. So they're pros at it at this point, you know? So no, it was great to see them all again last night. Again, Donna does, well, her and frankly, her whole team, they do a phenomenal job with all of them. It's just, you know, just like anything else, unfortunate that we can't thank these folks in person, you know, for the work they're doing.
have the big group photo, you know, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Were you a Girl Scout, Nina?
I was not, believe it or not. I stuck to dancing my whole life. I always wanted to be a Girl Scout, but, you know, I would love to camp. Probably can't start a fire to save my life, but, you know, maybe I could definitely get some tips from them, you know.
I'm sure. All right, on to the business at hand, the little matter of borrowing almost $500 million for the pension obligations.
Yeah, no big deal, Rachel. No, but kidding aside, I think, again, you know, this is very similar and not unlike a lot of the conversations you and I have had about some of the borrowing requests that have come before the council before, where, you know, me personally, I appreciate and admire the mayor's vision for the long-term goals and the long-term impacts that he wants to really improve upon for the city. And this is one of them. You know, we're essentially, he's looking, yes, it's a significant number when you look at this. I mean, significant, independent of the other requests that have come in thus far. But particularly for this, to be able to take this funding and put it towards the unfunded pension liability is, on the offset, you know, going to be a savings that we're going to realize in the city, right? I mean, we have to pay towards it regardless, but because the rates are so low right now and because of the home rule petitions that the state affords local communities to do and take advantage of, if we're able to move forward with this and take out this funding to pay back the unfunded pension liability, like, again, in the end, because of the interest rates we're seeing right now, potentially we're going to see a significant savings. You know, I don't know the specifics of it just yet. You know, the intent was, not unlike a lot of these items, whether it's, you know, a bonding request or an ordinance change, it comes before the council and then we move it to a committee to have more detailed, longer conversations so that we can actually go through the specifics, learn about what the details are, ask questions, engage the public. And so that process, similar to every other item that comes in front of us, still has to go forward. So this is just the early stages where it gets introduced. So I'm looking forward to hear the details and hear exactly how much we're going to save, you know, if, again, long-term, this is a benefit to the city, and engage the public in the process and see what happens moving forward.
Yeah. What will the council do to do their due diligence? Do you think you need some outside consultant help to review this request?
I mean, ideally, yes, we always want, you know, the more we can learn and the more we can absorb from those who know this work inside and out, obviously the more helpful that is. You know, the administration, whenever they present anything to us, they do a lot of legwork behind the scenes in order to prep all that information, make sure that what they put in front of us is, you know, a package that has a lot of information and education behind that decision, you know. So I have no doubt that they're going to have, you know, a team and or number of people, frankly, who can bring all that information to us to answer those questions when we move forward.
All right. We'll look forward to that, certainly.
It was a really good conversation, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure there are going to be a lot of questions. I know that some of your colleagues have expressed just concern about the debt the city's incurring. I know you have as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, again, it's a matter of what our abilities are right now to be able to take on this kind of debt, right? But then also understanding if there is a savings, you know, we have to weigh the benefits of it. And we take that very seriously across the board.
Yeah. Let's talk about something that did happen. Butler's Pond's getting fixed up.
Yes. Thank goodness. I think you and I are talking just before we started this conversation that it's been something that's front of mind for quite some time now. And so to be able to move forward on it, I think is remarkable. And just for clarification, you know, the request to fund all of this work is actually the funding is already there. It comes by way of something called the Sewer and Drainage Rehab Fund, which is funded by developers. I believe you and I had spoken about this fund in the past recently. And so, you know, again, when developers come in and they, you know, erect a new development, they do pay towards this fund. And then we're able to use this fund for things like improving Butler's Pond. So it's all cyclical. It's wonderful that the funding is there. Councillor Phelan actually spoke to some of the work that he had done in actually creating this fund back when he first served as a counselor. So it was great to see that, you know, he was there to first start this fund, you know, decades ago, and then to be able to come back and approve a project that fund is going to pay for is just incredible. So the work is going to be underway. I do have some information here from the PowerPoint. I'd love it if QATV can share that PowerPoint out as well through the city's website. There is just so many people in the community, so many residents that came together to advocate for this work, that know the area inside and out. And I believe are, you know, a significant reason why we're able to actually move forward with it. So I would love for them to be able to go through, look at the PowerPoint, look at the details of the timeline, and some pieces of that I'd love to share with you today. Just for those who don't know, they're going to start with actually dredging all of the sediment and all of that that they need to get out of that area, particularly because of the impact that it has to the wildlife there. I mean, it's one of the areas in the city that I think is sort of a little bit of a gem that most people don't know about that we have, right? And there's wildlife that people can see there. And so we want to make sure we're protecting that while also making sure that we do, of course, have to dredge it and we have to clean it. Another thing I want to just point out from their PowerPoint as well is that there's also going to be stormwater management that's going to be in the area. We're going to have some education pieces. We're going to have an open air natural science laboratory, which is awesome. Continued recreation, of course, that continues to be there. Obviously, it's going to be beautiful once we're done with it. Importantly, the timeline. I want to make sure to talk about that as well. So they're looking to bid out the project work late spring of this year, so probably over the next couple of months. The work will take 4 to 6 weeks to complete, and they're hoping to begin the work in the summer. So ideally by, frankly, middle to the end of summer, this work will be done. And in the meantime, any road closures or any construction work in and around the area will, just like any other project across the city, be managed pretty well. So yeah, there's, again, a lot of really good details and information in here above and beyond that, but those are the key pieces that I wanted to make sure to share with you. So I encourage folks to check out their PowerPoint that that they put together for us last night.
Absolutely, and we'll be sharing it here on QATV as well. I know it's gonna be up on the city website per your request, which is nice for folks to check out. Folks who don't know, it's behind the old Central Middle School, kind of adjacent to the Dorothy Quincy Homestead, down Butler Road, ironically enough. it has been kind of just a stormwater catch basin, you know, for so many years. So it'll be nice to see it rejuvenated. Maybe an in-person type of ribbon cutting ceremony, perhaps later this year when it's all done.
Oh goodness, don't jinx it. This is what we said. Joe, when you and I first spoke last year, when all of this was happening, we were like, oh, we'll see each other in May. And then we were like, we'll see each other in September. So let's not jinx it. Okay.
All right. Good point.
You never know. You never know anymore.
It's true. At this point, you don't know. Absolutely. and also, if you could tell us a bit about Councillor Andronico's resolve.
Yes. So I am so grateful. And I think you probably heard from the meeting too last night that my colleagues and I are just grateful that he's picking up the torch and you know, for his leadership on this and his advocacy. You know, Council Kroll had been beating the drum for years on this, making sure that residents are heard, that, you know, not just residents in that ward that are impacted by what's happening with the compressor station, but really everyone across the city, right? Because to Councilor Phelan and Councilor Palmucci's point last night, this impacts all of us, no matter where you live in the city. And particularly for me, being a Germantown kid, right? Like that's one neighborhood that I feel like is so underrepresented. And that's one of the most highly, I think, impacted neighborhoods, right? Mm-hmm. And so to have Councilor Andronico, again, you know, really pick up the torch on that, you know, to carry on Councilor Kroll's work, I think was amazing to have that opportunity to see that he's still moving forward with that, particularly with last night. So what happens is that there are these releases from the compressor station. And what gets released essentially is a pressurized natural gas. And that gas has significant risk to it, right? I mean, there's a really high risk of explosion or fire, and it's in really heavily, you know, dense residential neighborhoods on the Wayman side and again on the Quincy side. And so earlier on, I believe it was in January 22nd of this year, essentially what happened is that there was a pressure restriction on the compressor station saying that, you know, there was certain pressures that you could not release and whatnot. That was taken away. So now there aren't restrictions anymore. And now there are these unannounced releases of gas unbeknownst to the leadership in both, you know, cities and towns, unbeknownst to the residents. And it's just absolutely unacceptable, you know, that this is happening without any notification, without any preparation, without any warnings or, you know, guidance on what to do. God forbid there's an emergency or an explosion, you know, it's just, this is a horrific process that they're taking, or lack of the fact that there's no process whatsoever, right? And so, you know, Councilor Andronico made sure to bring this in front of us. Essentially what we're going to do is request that restriction gets put back on there. But in addition to that, you know, this is just a sort of step in a much longer continued process, right? We want to make sure that we have you know, FRACS continue to engage with us to see what we can do to support this effort. We want to hear from Enbridge and see what the heck is going on here, because this is completely unacceptable. First of all, I'm going to go on a bit of a tangent here, but you know, it's unacceptable that it was built in the first place, but then for them to be so inconsiderate and so disrespectful as to not engage, you know, local electeds so that we can share with our residents and our constituents what's going on and let them know again of the reality of these dangers and what they can do to protect them. I mean, there's a vacuum of information here, and it's absolutely ridiculous that we had to find out about it because there's this smell in the air. You know, it's an insult, I believe, you know, to all of us as residents of the city and as leaders of the city. You know, God forbid something horrific happens. You know, we need to do what we can to be the most prepared. And I just think it's completely unacceptable, one, that they built this thing to begin with, and two, that once they built it, they are in such disregard for all of us who live here. And I think, let me hop off my soapbox here for a moment for Councilman Tronico to bring this in front of us to make sure that this is still very front of mind for all of us, not just leadership across the city, but, you know, across the surrounding communities in the state as well. I think is very important. So we're fully behind him. And again, you know, his continued advocacy and his leadership on this issue. And, you know, we'll see what happens moving forward. But I know that this isn't something we're going to give up on at all. You know, we need answers. We deserve answers. And so this is just a step in a very long continued process. And hopefully we'll have better updates moving forward. But yeah, what happened was completely unacceptable. And I'm glad that he is giving us the opportunity to voice our support about this.
I know the city is a party in a lawsuit filed by the FRACS group, the Fall River residents, against the compressor station. Has there been any update on that lawsuit? Do you know, Nina?
Not to my knowledge, but that was also a piece that was asked last night, is that we do want to have some more information about what's going on. That, again, what we can do to support this process. I believe I spoke to you about this not too long ago, where there was one meeting I remember we had Congressman Lynch actually organized, and he's been, you know, a staunch advocate against this and making sure to speak on behalf of residents and supporting the community on this. But he called a meeting. I remember one day we sat down, and I've never seen to this day, you know, so many elected officials from the local to the state to the federal level, all in one room against an issue, right? I mean, you had, you know, counselors, school committee members, state reps, state senators, you know, mayors, you know, and, you know, Congressman Lynch. I mean, we were all there trying to work together to find a way to make sure that the residents come first in this process. And so, you know, I just appreciate that he's continuing to fight that. But again, it's a continued process that we need to continue to stand behind and push back on. I mean, it's unacceptable what's happening over there.
All right. We'll wait and see what the next step is there.
Yeah, stay tuned. Again, he's going to continue to fight this, and I'm looking forward to supporting him in that work. So definitely stay tuned.
Okay, good. What's next for the city council?
So we don't have another regularly scheduled council meeting until the first Monday in May, but we do have a finance committee meeting coming up on the 26th, Monday the 26th. It's an off council night, but we're having a committee meeting, and it's a committee of the whole, essentially. So all of the councilors will be there for finance committee. And this is to discuss the request to purchase the building to move Quincy College over. And it'll be a great time for a presentation for us to get as much information as possible on that request. And this will be the first meeting that we have on it.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. Maybe we can catch up on 27th, if that's okay.
Absolutely, sounds good. Yeah, I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks a lot, Nina.
Thank you, see you then.